The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet Playoff Preview presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron and special guest, Jake Hershon. What's up, fellas?
I was trying to think of a really corny, funny line to say, and I got nothing. I actually drew a blank. It's kind of upsetting.
That's a first.
Yeah, this would be a great moment for me to follow in with a really corny, funny line, but I don't have one either. So, well, how's it going, guys? Thanks for
There's nothing funny about Sixers Miami Heat. This is going to be a battle to the death.
We just need Joel Embiid in here real quick for a quick one-hitter, but none. But like you said, this should be a great series. Sixers and Heat, they split the season series 2-2. Honestly, it doesn't matter to some extent because there will be no Embiid in this series. Obviously, the Sixers have picked up some pieces, and it's going to be playoff basketball, and we're expecting a lot from Spoelstra and company. But anything you guys think from the regular season we can take into the series that matters?
The physicality that the Miami Heat have played with against the Philadelphia 76ers. I believe, what was it, 2-2, the regular season split?
Yep.
Yeah, obviously Embiid was a part of those games for the most part. I believe all of them.
Him and Whiteside.
Right. But I know that the series were very physical. So I think that's the one thing we can take into account is, obviously Nick mentioned this off the pod. The Miami Heat play with a lot of physicality. So that's definitely not going to go away. And without Embiid to try and bully the Miami Heat down low, that could be one issue for Philly.
I'm usually of the mindset that regular season matchups have very, very little information to take away into the playoffs just because it's such a different type of situation. But with this one, especially like without a beat, it just completely changes the dynamic. You know, the Miami is like a defense first team. Like that's how they win their games is with defense, and guarding the Sixers is such a completely different task when Embiid isn't on the floor that I don't know how much there is to take away from regular season matchups where Embiid was present.
Exactly. And I mean, the Sixers are somewhat of a different team in extent. We've obviously seen Ben Simmons hit a different level, kind of leading the team without Embiid. I think they're on a 16-game winning streak right now. How much does that momentum help the Sixers going to the series, if at all?
Well, what do they say? What's the old term? You know, you want to play your best basketball at the end of the year. And that's exactly what they've done. Obviously, they were winning before Embiid got hurt, and then they continued winning after he got hurt. So I think it does play some stock. Obviously, Ben Simmons has been tremendous. I mean, he's been driving the ball up the floor and going in between his legs and getting all flashy with it. This team's playing with a ton of confidence right now. They have really bought into each other. I think they honestly believe in each other. Markelle Fultz has come back, you know, the youngest player ever to have a triple-double at the age of 19. So I think for the Philly in general, that entire team is really bought in. I don't think they're too worried about missing Embiid. I do think it's going to have its own issues that we'll talk about. But I think for them, it's probably the best case scenario because you were winning games without your best player.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's always good to peak at the right time and to come in to the playoffs like with a good locker room, like because you've been winning. I've never really been like a huge momentum guy. Like, I think it's kind of a myth, but it is definitely better to be in this situation that the Sixers are in than like the situation that the Wizards are in, where they are coming into the playoffs playing terribly and with everybody snipping at each other in the media. You know, like I would definitely rather be on the Sixers. So yeah, I mean, we'll see how well they can carry the winning streak into this series.
Yeah, or a team like the Bucks who catches a 35-point L before the season ends. But where do we think the Sixers can attack the Heat in this series?
The Sixers can attack the Heat. I mean, honestly, the three-point line, you just got to hit your shots, the threes. And J.J. Redick's a three-point shooter, Marco Bellinelli, Dario Saric has been really good for them this year too. Markelle Fultz, obviously, the jump shot's a little streaky. But I think for the Sixers, you just want to hit shots. You want to stretch the floor. Because Embiid is out, I think Whiteside's going to get a lot of play this series. especially because, you know, there's no Embiid to go up against them. Obviously, he's had his own complaints about wanting to play more during the stretch or whatever the case may be. But I think for Philly, you really want to shoot the ball and space out the floor against the Miami Heat.
Yeah, the threes are definitely going to be really key because the Heat are going to try and make Ben Simmons beat them for sure. Like, I think they're going to try really, really hard to choke out those shooters, Redick, Covington, those guys that can really, like, break your back when they get going. I think without Embiid, they're going to really try and run those guys off the three-point line and try and force Ben Simmons to score, which is not his game, of course. So I think the Sixers are really, really going to have to focus on getting Redick off those screens, getting Covington off those screens, wide open looks, and Ben Simmons is going to have to be able to get to the rim. He's going to have to be able to beat on Whiteside. He's going to have to be able to, like, you know, score over Kelly Olynyk, who's the guy who's actually been playing really great for the Heat this season. And then I think they're definitely going to have to take advantage when they go a little smaller, when they get, like, some of those James Johnson at center type lineups. I think those are definitely going to be keys.
Yeah, I agree. I think Simmons is going to really have to attack those one-on-one matchups. And that's something we've seen him be able to do. We obviously can't really shoot the ball, but scoring that close range, that little area around the rim, those, like, little flip shots, he gets creative around there. I think that's going to be a big deal. Also, I think defensively, the Sixers have been great defensively this season. You know, top three, third in the league, 102 defensive rating. You know, the Heat aren't known for their offense. I think if they really lock into it defensively, it should really help them in the series, because the Heat just don't have a ton of talented offensive players that can create for themselves.
Yeah, that's what it's going to really come down to. Is I think the teams are pretty evenly matched when they don't have when the Sixers don't have Embiid, but it's really going to come down to the fact that I just don't think the Heat can score on the Sixers.
Yeah,
I think the Sixers are a really great defense.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be, you know, if they keep playing the defense, they've been playing some really good defense on this winning streak too, and they have a lot of different pieces too. Also, to get back to that three-point shot, somebody who's been nice in the playoffs too and had some big moments in the past is Marco Bellinelli. So that could be another guy that can glide it up for them a little bit. Where do we think the Heat can attack the Sixers?
I mean, for the Heat, you have to do the opposite. Obviously, the Heat have a couple 3-point shooters, but you're really going to want it. You want to drive. You want to hit the paint. I mean, without Joel Embiid there, who's been arguably a defensive player of the year candidate, you're going to want to attack the paint. I mean, Amir Johnson, does he scare anyone? No. So I think for guys like Whiteside, Bam, Kelly Olynyk, you know, James Johnson, those guys are bulls. You know, they can bully down low a little bit. And then you still got a Goran Dragic who can finish around the hoop very nicely, while you have a Wayne Ellington who's been, you know, tremendous this year. I think Wayne Ellington deserves, you know, obviously he's not a sixth man of the year candidate to me, but, you know, like a bench player of the year, I mean, he's got to be up there with how many threes he's hit off the bench this year for Miami Heat. Josh Richardson, Tyler Johnson. I think the Heat have a chance to really have a perfect, as you love, Nick, you know, the space the floor. They can really push you in down low, and then they got a bunch of guys that can kick it out to hit a three, which is, you know, perfect for Miami Heat because they have no superstar. This is one of the few teams in the playoffs where you look at that roster and there's no guy which you immediately go, yeah, this
there's
is the
not
guy
even an all-star.
Right. You know, this is there's no guy.
Package.
Yeah. I mean, he's borderline, and then you got, you know, old Wade, but there's no one on the team. You go, you know, we have to plan for this guy. It's basically, you know, we have to collectively hold this team down so they don't collectively beat us, which I think is something that goes in Miami's favor, especially for a series like this where you're going against a very young Sixers team who, you know, before this 14-game win streak, they really had a tough time closing games. You know, earlier in this season, they were not finishing those close games. They weren't, you know, closing out when they had leads. I mean, obviously the playoffs are different and they've been winning lately, but to me, that's still something you need to prove in the playoffs first.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think those two elements, the like crunch time element and the like lack of a superstar for the Heat are going to be really interesting here. Like, I think the Heat's game plan, their roadmap is going to be like, slow it down, like super balanced offensive attack where we're using 20 seconds of that clock and we're getting like super efficient buckets.
And then on the other end, you know, just try and lock them down as best you can. I think they're going to be trying to win these games like 90 to 87, you know, like you just keep it close. Don't let the Sixers get like momentum going. And then you just hope that you can go like Wade takeover versus Ben Simmons takeover at the end. And like old man Dwayne Wade can just like turn on the magic one last time, you know, a little farewell tour action and just like hit some shot. Probably shouldn't, get you a win.
Yeah, no, I think the fact that Embiid is out, it really helps the Heat because they can go to that small ball they do like to play sometimes. I think one area for the Heat where they maybe could capitalize, Corey kind of hinted at this, they are a young team. They're highest in the league in turnover percentage. So if they're able to force some turnovers and get a couple easy baskets, like I mentioned, offensively the Heat do struggle to score at times. So if you can get a couple easy ones, that's definitely going to help your case and maybe fluster that Sixers team that's a little bit younger and doesn't really know what to deal with playoff pressure and playoff physicality. Moving on, though, what would be some key matchups in the series for you guys?
I guess one key matchup for me would be Ben Simmons versus Justice Winslow. Obviously, it's not a matchup that offensively is very appetizing. But I think because of obviously what Ben Simmons does for the Sixers, you know, he's the rebounder, he's the playmaker, he's the guy who, you know, he's the mini LeBron. And Justice Winslow, obviously, offensively is very raw and rigid and disgusting to watch most times. But he's a big body and he plays very good.
He's improved his three-point shot. Give him some love.
All right, he's gotten better. I'll give him credit. But I think that matchup to me is kind of eye-catching because, you know, without Embiid, like you mentioned earlier, Jake, they really need to limit Ben Simmons. They really need to put more pressure on him. And I think a physical guy like Justice Winslow, you know, if he's constantly, you know, bumping bodies with Ben Simmons and he throw in a James Johnson who's constantly bumping bodies with Ben Simmons, you know, they could really throw him off his game, kind of like how people did to LeBron early in his career. They got really physical with him. So I think that's one matchup in particular I'm going to be looking at.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really, really good point, Corey. That's pretty much going to be the key matchup. And I'm not sure if the key matchup is just going to be Ben Simmons versus Justice Winslow. I think it's going to be Ben Simmons versus whoever the Heat are going to throw at him, you know, because I don't think he's the type of guy. He is like LeBron in that way where you can't just throw one look at him. Like, you got to have a few different guys who can attack him a few different ways. So I think they'll probably try Josh Richardson on him a bit, even though Josh Richardson is a lot smaller. And they might try James Johnson a little bit. Like, I think they're going to throw a few different looks. It's like, do you want to throw a smaller guy on him who he can kind of just like post up and push around? Or do you want to put a bigger guy on him who he's probably going to be faster than? So Justice Winslow is probably the good middle point there, but it's going to be really interesting to see how far they're having the guys back off Ben Simmons, what Ben Simmons does with that sort of airspace, and who becomes the primary defender on him a lot of the time.
That's a great point. Go ahead, Corey.
I was going to say, I think you're right. I think he's got to be a platoon effort just, you know, obviously after you said that. Because I think you're right. Ben Simmons is one of the type of guys where you can't just have one guy limited or, you know, told, all right, Justice, all game is just you on Ben Simmons. Best of luck. there's no way that happens. You need to have, you know, guys like James Johnson and obviously the different looks. And I wouldn't be surprised if at some point this series we see them start, you know, double teaming on the drive. So they make them either, you know, shoot or pass the ball out to a shooter. But I agree. I think it's going to be a platoon effort.
Yeah, no, I think it's pretty much Ben Simmons versus the Heat in a sense. Like you guys said, Winslow, Richardson, James Johnson. James Johnson's a very interesting guy because usually Simmons gets in the paint and he's a lot more physical than some of the smaller guys. So that's an intriguing one. And like Jake mentioned, how much do they back off of him? I've also seen Ben Simmons, when you back off too much, he gets that momentum and you just really can't stop him because he can change direction so well. And also, he's not obviously a polished post player, but we've seen him in a post a few times this season where he's able to either make a shot or make the right pass. So it's going to be a lot of Simmons versus Heat and what they throw at him. Obviously, Spoelstra is going to throw some crazy stuff at him. And it almost gives Spoelstra a nice advantage in a sense, having LeBron being his former player and seeing what has worked against LeBron. Not saying Simmons is LeBron 2.0, but there are similarities in the game.
I agree. I think it's a good point. You know, obviously, Spoelstra spent time with LeBron. And like you mentioned, they're not exactly alike. It's not LeBron 2.0, but there are a lot of similarities in how their game is, you know, and how they, you know, how they look at the floor, how they attack the floor and everything else. So I do think there are some things you can pick from, you know, that mind of Eric Spoelstra where he can try and throw different looks at Ben Simmons.
What about Whiteside in the series? Do we think he can have a big impact?
Hell yeah. I the minute I said the first matchup, I wanted to, like, I was immediately waiting for my next chance to say another matchup that we have to look at. And that's going to be Whiteside against whoever. And actually, it may just be the Miami Heat.
Whiteside versus himself?
Well, I mean, that's not a bad thing to say either. But I'm saying the Miami Heat bigs in general. You know, Bam has been really good. Whiteside obviously is still Whiteside. And they're going up against, you know, Amir Johnson. I don't even know who else is the center on that team besides Amir
Holmes
Johnson.
Is pretty good.
Oh, we're talking hard. Holmes, right? He's solid. But even still, I really see a huge discrepancy in the rebounds and the battle in the paint for this series. I still think, you know, I think Miami can really exploit some issues that are going to be had without Embiid. You know, Embiid and Whiteside got into it earlier in this season too. There's no Embiid this time. You know, Whiteside can really dominate the post. You know, there's no 7-footer that's going to be able to really lock him up down low. I think Whiteside is going to be a huge issue for Philly.
I actually am sort of leaning the other way on it. I think Whiteside is probably going to play less in this series because of the fact that Embiid's not going to be around. Whiteside, I think, has been really, really good this year. I think it's kind of interesting because this is the year that Miami seems to just sort of be fed up with his crap, you know, and is like not really interested in getting him out on the floor. But I think it's been pretty easily the best year of his career. I think defensively he's been phenomenal this year. But, you know, they had that whole blow up just about a week ago, maybe, where Whiteside went off after a game about how much his playing time and how he's not playing.
Throw that out there.
yeah. Thanks for reminding us of that, Nick. And so he wasn't playing enough against the Nets. And, you know, that's probably why he wasn't playing crunch time against the Nets, is because they're a team that likes to go really small, you know, like they don't have a lot of the conventional, like, Embiid type bigs. So I think without Embiid, it's going to be a lot more Rashawn Holmes at center. Hopefully, Amir Johnson will obviously get his looks, and that's probably when Hassan Whiteside will be out there. But Whiteside was probably going to serve mostly as an Embiid stopper. On offense, they don't want to put the ball in Whiteside's hands and have him, like, go in the post, you know, because, like, I was just looking earlier today, the Heat's offensive rating with Whiteside on the court this year has been like 100 or 101, like really awful. Like, that's like bottom of the barrel. So they want him out there defensively for Embiid, but if Embiid's not out there, then I think his role is going to become pretty limited. And Bam, Kelly Olynyk, and James probably a lot more of those minutes at center.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. And Whiteside, like you said, it's almost like I said, Whiteside versus himself, because I feel like the Heat have expected more from him this far in his career, especially the way he came into the league. Well, not even when he came in the league, when he came into Miami and he really had that success. So it's going to be up to him to really earn those minutes and have an impact. But like you said, Jake, if they go small, they're not going to want to play him.
Yeah.
Any other key matchups for you guys?
I do want to say, Jake, to your point, I think you make a good point. I think Whiteside actually could see time, you know, off the floor if the series is to become a, you know, a smaller ball type of thing, which they could do. And obviously, when the Heat have gone smaller, Bam has been, you know, the more
usable.
What's the word I'm looking for?
He's been more usable against small ball.
Right.
He's got James Johnson at five a lot too, which I think is nice.
Yeah, and with Bam, you know, he's got that kind of like DeAndre Jordan kind of build. You know, he's more of a I can run up and down the floor. So I agree that the Whiteside thing can go both, you know, one or two ways. I just think if you have a big body like that who can get those rebounds and everything else, that you utilize that, especially because, you know, without Embiid, you know, Ben Simmons does need to drive more. And I think if Ben Simmons is driving into a Whiteside, you know, I think to me personally, that would be a little bit more of an issue than driving into a Bam or a James Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an intriguing point. You look at Whiteside as more of a solid thing. The one thing I guess I would like about Bam is the fact that just athleticism to kind of get up and really contest those shots up there, because Ben Simmons does definitely have some nice jump in him. But deciding factor in the series,
Dwayne Wade.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I wish, but it's not 2009, unfortunately. We haven't talked about him really, but I think it's going to be JJ Redick.
Interesting.
I'm perfectly fine with Ben Simmons. I think Ben Simmons is going to get his. You know, he's going to average right around triple double probably this first round. On the other side, I think Goran Dragic will do very well for the Heat. I honestly think he's going to do a phenomenal job against Markelle Fultz and the assortment of guards that are over in Philly. I think Goran Dragic is going to have a really good series. But I, for me, I'm looking at a guy like J.J. Redick because, as we mentioned, you know, Ben Simmons is going to get a lot of attention. He's going to get a lot of double teams and everything else. And, you know, J.J. Redick is the vet on this team. He's the one who's been to the playoffs before. He's the one who's done this, you know, numerous times. He's knocked down the big three-pointers, the big shots in his career. And I think that kind of veteran leadership without an Embiid, you know, somebody on this team is going to have to step up come playoff team and time. And I think Dario Saric will be great and everything else. But I think a J.J. Redick could really be, you know, a game changer if he's hitting threes and he's, you know, doing the little things. I actually think J.J. Redick could be a game changer.
Yeah, I really like that choice. I think J.J. Redick and the Sixers shooters in general are going to be huge. I think at the end of the day, the deciding factor will probably be just Miami's lack of a number one scoring option. Like, I like a good balanced offense as much as anybody, but in the playoffs against a great defensive team like the Sixers, you need a better option than Goran Dragic to just take over at the end of games. And, you know, if they had a 2009 Dwayne Wade, or if they had like a really great number one option, I think they could take this series, but ultimately I don't think they will.
Yeah, I think the lack of number one option is going to hurt them. I also think coaching will be a factor in a sense, too. Obviously, we've hinted at it a few times that Philly is a young team, so Brett Brown's going to have to keep them in check, keep them disciplined. And then Spoelstra on the other side obviously has some great playoff experience and has a couple – he has some tools on his roster. He doesn't have any elite guys, but he can definitely mix and match. So I think that's going to be something to keep an eye on. Predictions for the series.
I'm going to bring out a real shocker here. I'm going to go with the Sixers and six.
I knew you just said that just so you could say Sixers and six.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to take the Sixers in seven. I'm going to be really bold, and I'm going to say that the Sixers are down 3-1 after four games, and Embiid comes back, and they reel off three straight wins, and they move out of the second.
That would be incredible. I honestly think Embiid should probably maybe be back towards the end of the series. I think it's a real possibility. And I know he would love to really body Whiteside, so he has some extra motivation. But I'm going Philly in seven. I think that Embiid definitely could come back later in the series and have an impact. Even if he doesn't, I think the Sixers might be able to pull it off in seven. MVP of the series.
I'm going to go with Ben Simmons being the MVP of the series. But I want to give a shout out to, I think J.J. Redick's going to be a close second, because I do think Ben Simmons is going to have a lot of defensive issues or offensive issues because of the defense he's going to see.
Based on my prediction, I think I have to say that Joel Embiid is going to be the MVP of the series. I mean, hey, he's gonna come back like Willis Reed and save the entire season. So yeah, Joel Embiid, first round MVP.
Yeah, I think if Embiid does come back, he's MVP. But if not, I'm going with Ben Simmons. And then another guy like Dario Saric as a guy to keep an eye on in the series as well.
That's a good call.
So, but anything else before you get out of here, guys? Sixers or Heat, you want to throw in there?
I want to hope that one of my two wins I predicted for the Heat comes at a Dwayne Wade game. Like Wade, you know, has another
Wade
one of those
game winner.
Yeah, which happened to be against the Sixers too, funny enough. But I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of, you know, Flash show, a little way of Wade. I don't know, a little 25-point game or something. I don't know. I want to see something from Wade, at least, because we don't have many moments left.
Yeah, honestly, one guy we haven't mentioned that I'll be keeping an eye on is Richardson. You know, we talked about him a little bit, but I think he's a guy. A lot of people have mentioned him being possibly the Heat's best player. And it's, you know, we want to see what he can do in a series like this. This is always, you know, prove yourself in the playoffs.
I'm glad you shouted out Josh Richardson. I think he is the Heat's best player, and I think he's really, really good. So hopefully he can have a big series here. Another guy I just wanted to mention again is Kelly Olynyk, known playoff hero. Kelly Olynyk hit however many threes in game seven last year against the Wizards. But he has had a legitimately great season. And I still am don't really understand why they gave him the contract that they did. But he's a really good player, and he can give them some really interesting lineups. So.
I will say this. If the Sixers lose either game one or game two, they could lose this series. That's my only hot take I'm going to make, is if Philly doesn't come out of the gate really strong, I actually think they could. I'm just going to shut up. I want to say I do have doubt, because I still worry about them being able to close games. The youth to me is still something I worry about, even though the Sixers have been the better team. And I mean, honestly, I don't know how you guys feel about the Raptors, anybody else. I actually think the Sixers are the best team right now in the East, but their youth and inexperience in the playoffs is something that does concern me, because we've seen how they've looked, you know, earlier in this season, and they've, you know, blown wins and everything else. So I do have a concern with the youth. That's just one thing I want to say.
The one thing they do have on their side is they do have some nice veterans who've played in the playoffs. JJ Redick, I think, has been in the postseason every year. He's been in the NBA. Marco Bellinelli is another guy who's been in there. I'm sure Ersan Ilyasova has made the playoffs a few times. So I think that I am concerned with the youth in a sense, but that's why I said Brett Brown is going to have to do a good job of keeping his team, you know, even keel. But that wraps it up for today. Thank you, Corey. Thank you, Jake, for hopping on. As always, thank everybody for listening. And you can check out all the playoff previews on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and OGGBasketball.com.
For the glass, trust the process.
Thanks, guys.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.